Hi everybody, welcome to the Working with Client-Side HTML5 Storages. Before I'm starting the session, I want to share with you something from my past. When I was a junior web developer, my first task was to build an ASP.NET user control. So I went back to my cubic after my team leader told me what he is expecting of me, and I sat there for a couple of days and wrote that user control. Then I went to my team leader back and I told him, hey, I've finished the task. And then he asked me that question, that web development question that makes probably every web developer shiver when he hear that question. And that question was, did you check it on Firefox? Did you check it on Chrome? Did you check it on Opera? And this is the first time that I hit the wall of web development, one of the walls that every web developer is hitting from time to time. And it's the compatibility issue. We have a lot of web browser there in the web, and every web browser in the past didn't show the same markup. And this is probably something that HTML5 is trying to solve. HTML5, one of its goals is same markup and same functionality. So with that evolving standard and the adoption of that standard in web browsers, we are getting a lot of same markup and same experience from all of the browsers. And this is something to expect to when HTML5 will be finished. I'm Gil Fink. I'm a senior architect from working at Cella Group. I'm a web developer all my professional life. I'm a Microsoft MVP. Lately, one of the tasks that I finished was to write the Microsoft official course about HTML5 programming. In this session, I'm going to recap what is HTML5, and then we will drill down into simple web application that I'm going to build that will show you how to store data on the client side using the web storage API and then take that web application offline with app cache or application cache API. Then I will summarize the session and finish it. So let's get started. For a lot of people, HTML5 is an emerging standard. It's the future of the web. This is not a marketing sentence. This is the truth. And when I'm thinking about HTML5, I'm thinking about HTML, CSS3, the new standard for CSS, and a lot of new JavaScript APIs. All of these JavaScript APIs are making the web do things that you couldn't do with the browser without plugins. So now when these APIs are available, you don't have to write graphics using things like Flash or Silverlight. You will do that using Canvas or SVG. The direction that HTML5 is taking is to make the web plugin-less. The problem with HTML5 is that it's still under development. They are saying that it will be finished by 2014. Hopefully it will be that deadline, but maybe it won't be. But as you know, this is a standard, and standards takes a lot of time to develop. So what the HTML5 can offer you? So the first thing is semantics. HTML5 brings a lot of new elements to the environment of web development. These elements help you to express what you wanted to express in the past, but you couldn't express that. You had to use divs all over the place to write your web pages. And now you have header, footer, section, article, and a lot of new elements with semantics that help you write a more maintainable HTML code. The second APIs that you can find in HTML5 is offline and storage. This session will talk about offline and storage in more deeply manner, but we won't cover everything. HTML5 brings the offline web application APIs. This is called application cache or app cache, and new APIs for storage such as web storage and IndexedDB, a full-blown database databases in the client side. HTML5 also brings device access. So with the emerge of mobile web, you can use APIs such as geolocation to contact the GPS in the mobile phone, or use media capture to capture media from your mic or from your webcam. And these abilities makes the HTML5 more expressive and more powerful. HTML5 also brings a lot of ways to communicate and connect your websites. And this is probably, if you heard about WebSockets or CORS, cross-region resource sharing, these APIs enable you to do things that you couldn't do with web applications in the past, and now they are out of the box in the browser. HTML5 also brings you the ability to use multimedia as first-class citizen in your browser. You have two new elements such as video and audio, which enable you to play multimedia with the standard codecs in your browser without the need for any plugin. HTML5 also has graphics and effects. You have two models to use. One of the models is SVG, scalable vector graphics, vector graphics in the browser using elements of the SVG standard, and the second model is using the canvas, an element that is scriptable, and you can write JavaScript code to create graphics inside of this element. HTML5 also brings new possibilities for performance, whether it's the new attributes such as defer or async, or the web workers API, which enables you to run threads inside of web workers and to make concurrency available in JavaScript, something that wasn't available in the past. And at last, HTML5 brings you the ability to use CSS3, a lot of new models inside of CSS that enables you to do things like transformation, transitions, animation, simple animation, and other stuff that wasn't available in CSS 2.1, which was the last standard for CSS. And with that saying, this session, we will build a web application and we will store data on the client side. And why it is so important to store data on the client side? We strive to make our web application more smart client-like, but this ability couldn't be achieved without any storage on the client side. And we have a lot of problems in the mobile web since connectivity isn't always available. So when you are working with web applications and you browse them from your mobile phone, you might experience connectivity problems, and this is where the offline and storage option making you enable you to create a better web application and better experience to your users, since you can store things on the client side. And then you can, when you are not connected, you still get your functionality available. And this is something that couldn't been achieved without the new APIs in HTML5. So with that, let's drill down into Visual Studio and start writing our web application. So here we are in Visual Studio 2010. And as you can see, we have here a grocery store list MVC application. If I run that application, you will see that we have a simple web page which will show us the grocery store list that we will add using the text box and add product. Currently it does nothing since nothing is implemented on the client side. So let's go on and see what we have in the web application itself. So as you can see, we have a simple model which includes only one class, the grocery item. That class will hold the products to buy, and also an ID for the storage for storing in the database, and the key which indicates the key on the client side storage. If you're familiar with Entity Framework, this is a Entity Framework code first. I use the DB context to generate the database for me. The database will include only one table, grocery items, which hold three fields. As you can see, the fields that relevant to the class of grocery item. But our main interest in the web application here is not the server side, it's the client side. So let's go on and see what we have in the client side. Inside of the view, the index view, you can see that it's a very simple view. We have here a div for a status. This div will show us whether we are online or offline, when we'll implement the offline web application APIs in the application itself. We have a text box, we have a button, and we have an unordered list to show us all the grocery items inside of it. We have a div here to log items, log messages, and see what's happening. As you can see, I've also have two JavaScript files, the grocery store and grocery store.web storage. Grocery store currently holds nothing. It just has an immediate function to create us a namespace in order not to pollute the JavaScript's global scope. In the grocery store web storage, also we don't have things in implemented inside of it. You can see that in the namespace I'm putting a JavaScript class by the name storage, which will have an API such as save item, remove item, get all items, and get by key. So with that saying, I want to implement some utility functions inside of this web application that will help us to build our web application before we are getting inside of drill down into the storages options. So as you can see, inside of the immediate function, I'm creating the product index to help me manage the keys on the client side. We have a storage variable which will hold the storage instance and will help us to manipulate the storage. We have a function which is called content loaded. This function will be wired here with using the add event listener function. And it will be wired to the DOM content loaded. That HTML5 event is being called when all the DOM is loaded in the browser. And if you're familiar with the jQuery's ready function, the ready function is calling DOM content loaded underneath. So in the DOM content loaded, I added an event listener to the click event of the button to add products, currently just retrieving the value from the text box and creating a new grocery item. The grocery item is an object that I've created to help me on the client side to store data. So this object includes properties like ID, key, product to buy, and status. The reason for the status is you will find it in the future when we will need to get a status whether the item was inserted, whether it's deleted or none. That means that it is stored on the client side and on the server side. If it's insert, we need to insert it to the server side, and if it's delete, we need to delete it from the server side when we are in an offline scenario. So this is just a const object. If you're familiar with enums in C sharp, this is something that resembles enums in C sharp. Other utility function that I'm going to use is show grocery list. That function will get from the storage all the list of items that we have, and then we'll empty the unordered list on the client side and iterate all the list items and add items into the unordered list. Add list items, just create a list items with the product to buy that you've added, and it wires an event for a delete in order to delete items from list. We also have a log function that logs the messages to the log div, and we have a clear function to clear the log and clear the text box. So with that, let's jump into implementing web storage inside of this web application. The web storage API is part of HTML5. What it gives you is a storage on the client side, a dictionary of key values, and those key values are string types. So when you want to save JSON objects, JavaScript object notation, on the client side, you will have to stringify them using the json.stringify, and then to parse them using the json.parse when you retrieve your objects. The API itself is very simple. It has only 5 methods and one property, which is length, and the one event, which is called onStorage, which will be called when things are manipulated inside of the storage. The web storage give you 5 megabytes in most of the browsers per domain, and it has to be over HTTP. So if you'll try to use web storage without HTTP context, you probably, in most of the browser, you won't be able to do anything with that storage. It has 2 types of storage. One is session storage, which accessible to any page from the same site opened in that window. That storage is persistent as long as the window's the session against the server is open. When the session is closed, the session storage ends. On the other side, there is the local storage, which helps you to save data and persist data on the client side, even if you close the browser. So it serializes the data to the disk, and then when you go back to your storage again, the storage is available. So let's implement web storage into the grocery store application. So, as I said earlier, we have a very, very simple API using that storage object. I want to use that storage object against the web storage. So let's delete all of this and let's implement the web storage. So as you can see, the save item function is just calling the set item function, which is one of the functions that local or session storage gives you. The set items get a key value and it gets the value itself. So you can see that since I'm sending the grocery item, which is a JavaScript object notation object, I'm stringify it and keep it as a string, since local storage holds only string types. The remove function is also very easy. It gets a key and it removes the item that is related to that key using the remove item function of web storage. The get all items is much more complicated. I'm using an array, a JavaScript array, and I'm retrieving the length, which is the property that web storage, every web storage has, and then I iterate over the items in the local storage. How I do that is by using the local storage key function, which retrieve the key that is related to the index itself. So I'm using this key, and I'm getting the key from the index, and then I'm using the get item again using that key. There is no function to get an item by its index, so I'll have to use the key and then use the get item. As you can see, I'm also parsing the retrieved item, which is string, into a JSON object. And then I push that item into the items array. At the end of the loop, I'm returning the items array. Get by key is easy. It's only using the function of get item to get the item using its key. And then we parse the item that we retrieved. So this is the implementation of the web storage. As you can see, it's easy. The API is very simple. And let's go and implement web storage inside of the web application. So again, I'm deleting all this function, and I'm adding the new implementation. So as you can see, the click event is different. I'm creating the item using the value from textbox, and then I save the item local using the web storage, and save the item remote using jQuery post function. Also, let's see what is save item local. So save item local will use the utility function that we built earlier, the add list item, and add the item to the web page, and then it will use the storage.save item to save the item. And as you can see, I'm logging that the item was saved locally. Save item remote, as I said, use the jQuery post to post the data to the server side. I'm posting the item that was created. And I have a callback function that changed the status of the item from insert to none, since the item is saved both on client and server side. And I'm using the storage save item, since the return data has the ID of the database. So I want to save the ID of the database into my storage. Also, I'm logging that the item was saved on the server side. Another thing to notice is that I've implemented the delete item from list. The delete item from list will retrieve the item by its key, and then it will delete the item local and delete the item remote. I want to delete the items from the web storage and from the database. After this deletion happened, you can see that I removed the item from the web page. So let's take a look at the delete item local and delete item remote. The delete item remote is very simple. I just post using jQuery.post the ID of the item to the endpoint of delete. And this will delete the item from the database. You can look at the functionality of deletion in the published solution that I will publish in my blog. The delete item local is just removing the item from the storage. That is all. And let's take a look at how it is working in the browser. So I'm going to use Chrome, since Chrome has the ability to inspect items in the local storage. And let's add item 1. You can see that it was saved locally and to the server. Let's add item 2. Again, saved locally and to the server, and using the developer tools of Chrome, I can go to the resources tab and take a look at the local storage. You can see that we have two items saved in the local storage. The first item has the ID of 4. That means that my database was has items there. And as you can see, we have the product to buy and the key, 1 and 2. If I'm deleting the item, you can see that the item was deleted locally and deleted from the server. Again, let's take a look at the local storage, and you can see that item 1 was deleted. And I can delete the second item, and again it was deleted from the web storage and from the server side. So this is how we use a local storage to add item, to delete item. It's very simple, as you can see. And the next step in the application is to take it offline. The Application Cache API, or App Cache, enables you to create an offline web application scenario. What it means that it is that you can take your applications offline and still the application will be responsive without any HTTP 404 errors. You use the Application Cache by implementing a manifest file. The manifest file is a file to configure the cache. It has some sections such as cache, network, and fallback, which enables you to write which data, such as JavaScript files, CSS files, is related to each section. And you have a very simple API to interact with cache events such as online and offline, and the property on the navigator, which is called online, to know whether you are online or offline. So let's implement the application cache inside of this grocery store list application. First, let's take a look at the home controller. The first thing that you will notice is that I'm using the response.cache.setCacheAbility with no cache. Apparently, Application cache and HTTP cache don't work well together. So you can implement HTTP caching and application cache in your application, but you need to pay attention to things that can happen, or errors that can happen because of this both of caches working. Another thing to notice here is the action manifest. The home controller includes an action which return the manifest itself, a view, which is the manifest file. As you can see, the content type of the manifest must be text slash cache manifest. If you want to do that, the cache or the application cache won't work. Another thing to notice here is that the manifest must be encoded as UTF-8 encoding. And again, set cacheability is no cache. So let's deep dive into the manifest itself. So the manifest file must start with cache manifest statement. Another thing to notice here is the versioning. I'm using a comment in the cache manifest file using the sharp and then version and one. I'm doing it because it's a good practice to do this versioning. When the manifest file change, only then the application cache will refresh itself. So use that version in order to refresh the cache if you are making changes in your application. The cache section include all the files that are going to be cached on the client side. As you can see, I'm caching all the CSS files, GIF files, JPEG file, JS files, and etc. The fallback section should include a file to go, such as the HTML file, which will be fallback whether if error occurs in the application cache. The network section is for stating anything that needs networked in order to work. Things like login, which needs connectivity, you will put here in the network section. You can see that I'm putting the star here, enables me to say that everything that isn't in the cache or the fallback is a network. After I'm writing the manifest file, let's go to the layout file and let's add the manifest itself to the HTML. You do that by writing in the HTML element the attribute manifest and where the manifest is located. In our application, it's home controller action manifest. Now, when we are ready on the server side, let's go and implement the application cache on the client side. So let's change the implementation that we have here, and let's add app cache. The things that you can notice when we are adding the application cache is that I introduced a new function, isOnline. That function retrieve from the navigator online, whether it's online or offline. You can see that in the click event of the button, now we check whether we are online and only then we save items remote. Another thing to notice here is that I'm using the toggle online div function. Function is this function, go to using jQuery and retrieve the status div, and then if you are online, add class online, CSS class online. If you are offline, add CSS class offline. This will show us indication that whether we are online or offline. Another thing to notice here is that when the application starts, I'm checking whether we are online. If we are online, I'm saving remote. That means that I'm using the save remote function, which is a new function, to get all the items from the storage and iterate them using jQuery, and then I'm checking the status of the item. If it's in an insert, then the item wasn't inserted on the server side, so I'm saving the item remote. If it's delete, I'm deleting the items locally and then delete the item remote. Another thing to notice here is in the content loaded, we have wiring to events of app cache. I'm checking whether the application cache is enabled on the web browser, and then I wire the event of on update ready, which is an event that will be called when the cache finish download everything to the client side. Apparently, the browser will, if it will first retrieve the data from the cache, and then if the the manifest changed, it will start downloading on the background the all the data from the new manifest. Only then the event of on update ready will be fired. So you need to swap the cache and reload the window again after the update ready event fire. Another thing to notice is the online and offline events. When we are getting online, the online event will be fired, and then we toggle the online div again and save remote. When we are offline, the event of offline will be fired, and then we toggle the div to be offline. That's all for the implementation, and let's see the implementation right now. So as you can see, we are currently online. This is the div of online or offline, and you can see that in the resource of Google Chrome there is an application cache section. You can see that all the files are available, and I can do I still can add items to the server and remove them, but I'm online. Apparently Chrome doesn't have implementation for toggling between online and offline scenarios, which Firefox has. So let's take the application offline. First of all, I'll add an item, and then I'll take the application offline using web developer work offline. You can see that the div itself changed to offline. If I'm adding item 2 here, you can see that the item was saved locally only, and I'm removing item 1 and nothing happened, only the UI is changing. And then let's go online, and you can see that the save remote was fired and item 1 was deleted and item 2 was saved to the server. So we have here a scenario of working online and offline using storages and offline web application. So what we saw here was a demonstration about Web Storage API, which is a very simple API to implement, and Application Cache API, which is also not hard to implement, and it can bring you a lot of strength to your web application, since your web application will be available even if your connectivity won't be enabled. We didn't saw, and I didn't cover, other storage APIs such as IndexedDB, which is a full-blown index database which exists in the client side, and it is more related to data-driven applications. And we didn't talk about File API, which is another storage option. You can read and write files using a sandbox with the browser. So these APIs won't be covered here, but you should, and I encourage you to go and read about them. They are very, very powerful. With that, let's see how the browsers themselves implement the APIs that we talked about. So on the left side, you can see the mobile browser HTML5 support, and on the right side you can see the HTML5 support on the desktop browsers, and of course the coverage of the APIs. You can see that the local storage itself is implemented in most of the browsers, even in Internet Explorer 8 and above. Regarding the offline web application or app cache, you can see that it is implemented in most of the browsers. It isn't implemented in Internet Explorer up until version 10 of Internet Explorer, which implements offline web application scenarios. You can use this slide or this link to go and to see the web API support, the web application API support, in the browsers themselves. So let's summarize. HTML bottom line is develop once. You can get multiple device reach and multiple platform reach using HTML5, since in every platform we have a browser. As you've seen in the previous slide, not all the APIs are supported in all of the browser, but it will change during time, and HTML5 support will be very, very extensive in most of the browsers, which is what we strive. At the end, we'll have same markup and same functionality in all of the browsers. I put a bunch of resources that you can use in this slide. The first one is my blog. It's www.gilfink.net. The second one is the web storage specification. The third one is the application cache specification. And the last one is Story.js. It's an experimental project that I wrote. It's a client-side storages library, which gives you simple and consistent API to work with storages like IndexedDB, web storage, cookies, and in-memory storage. With that, I want to thank you for joining me to this session. And if you want to contact me, you have the contact here. It's gilf@sela.co.il, or you can contact me through Twitter or through my blog. Thank you very much.